Hey, yo, you know what talk is gaining momentum? That the Steelers should draft another quarterback if they finish low enough and like C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young is available. Ohio State and Alabama, respectively. But you can't. You might be tempted, but you can't. The Steelers have too many holes to fill, especially on both lines. What the Steelers should have done was take an offensive lineman in this year's draft and taking a quarterback next year when there's a much deeper and better class of quarterbacks. But the Steelers fell in love with an average athlete because he was right across the parking lot. Let's not deceive ourselves about why the Steelers drafted Pickett, or that Pickett is much better than just an average talent, although he does have competitive fire. Competitive fire. I keep hearing about that, so it must be important. Like I keep saying, it's too early to call Pickett a bust, but it's not too early to worry that he might be a bust. But it is too early to give up on Pickett and draft another quarterback, whether it's Stroud, Young, or whoever. I know Arizona did it when they drafted Rosen and then Murray the next year, 18-19 that was. Where'd that get Arizona? They're 4-8. Murray mostly sucks. And you can't not draft linemen forever. This segment brought to us by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is Pittsburgh's hometown sportsbook. Bet now from anywhere. Competitive fire. I, too, have competitive fire. For all the good it does me. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. When you look at the Penguins, let's get Penguins talk, because Steeler pregame stuff's kicking off on other stations. Let's get Penguins talk. Let's get Penguins calls. Let's talk about that U.S. Soccer Federation thing, too, desecrating Iran's flag on social media, which has just everyone soiling their pants. And you know, if you look at the rules, technically the U.S. should be kicked out of the World Cup. They committed racism. You know, when you desecrate a flag, when you take the logo of God off that flag, I mean, that might not be racism, strictly speaking, but it's effed up. You'd be mad if they did that to the U.S. flag or talked about your non-existent God in a way you didn't like. Anyway, when you look at the Penguins, the one thing they lack is a third line. They got a great top six, which is mostly producing, except Rust is in a slump. And their fourth line is pretty good. It's playing good right now. Archibald has 4 goals already. Paling has 4 goals. And Bluger's added a lot of energy, and he's been great on the PK since coming back. But the third line ain't good. Heinen's in a bad patch. Might get scratched in favor of Kapanen tomorrow at home against Carolina. Heinen, 1 goal in 17 games. Carter looks real slow. You can see him slowing down in mid-shift. McGinn is a good fourth liner, but he's playing on the third line. Done okay, though. So I'm not sure how you solve not having a third line. You can't make a trade. You can't call up guys from Wilkes and try them because of the cap being squeezed. So that is a problem for the Penguins. The power play is also a problem, too. The Penguins got to fix their power play. It's friggin' horrible. It's fifth from bottom in terms of conversion percentage. On an elementary level, just shoot and crash. Shoot your way out of it, but they won't. It has to be a great play. Okay, so at the very least, get Sidney Crosby on the right half wall. Stick Gino on the left half wall. He won't like it. He can't shoot one-timers, but he'll adjust. Get 58 up top. He's not great there, but he wouldn't be the point guy because Sid would be the point guy. He'd be the reset point on the right half wall. And I know that takes the one-timer away from Gino. Too bad. How often does he shoot it anyway? How often does he get teed up for it anyway? The power play needs a reset point, and it needs Sid's playmaking and passing more than it needs Gino's one-timer. Gino has 2 power play goals in 22 games. That's chump change. They should bring EJ down from the press box and have him coach the power play. And I'm only half kidding. EJ is the best power play mind in the history of hockey. Let's go to Joe in Ocean City. Joe, you're on with Double M.
And Mark, I wanted to give you credit, man. I don't know how many people are going to bring that up about that whole flag thing with men's soccer in Iran, but I got to give it to you, man. You got the stones to say it. Let Iran deal with it. The players, they're not singing their anthem. They want to do whatever, but that's just crazy. Something like that's going to happen. Right. I'm curious to see where the story goes.
They waved the red flag in front of the bull. Okay, it's okay for Iran's players to protest, but it's not okay by Iran's players if the U.S. does that. And they're going to come out smelling blood tomorrow, and they're a dirty team to begin with. And they're going to want to stick it up the U.S.'s backside, whether on the scoreboard or whether with some hard fouls. It just was a dumb thing for the U.S. Soccer Federation to do. You know what they were thinking? They were thinking on a bigger scale than a soccer game. And when you're playing in the World Cup, and these guys on the U.S. team have worked their whole lives to get there, there is no bigger scale than that soccer game. Who cares about the human rights violations in Iran? Beat Iran. Get to the knockout round. That's why you're at the goddamn World Cup.
Yep. Yep. I'm credit in the world to you, Mark. Seriously.
Well, of course. I'm a genius. I have guts, and I'm charismatic and good-looking. Let's go to Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom, you're on with Double M.
This is Pastor Tom, Mark. And I'd like to talk to you about the Iran and the flag. I think the U.S. soccer team needs to sit down and pray themselves and ask God for forgiveness and take themselves out of the World Cup, what they did.
Goodbye. I think you need a better gimmick than Pastor Tom. Let's not ever take calls from Pastor Tom again. Clearly a jag-off. I bet he's even a jag-off in the eyes of our Lord. Amen. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. That thing with the Penguins power play, they need to do it, and they won't do it. I get really frustrated by stuff like that. I get really frustrated by stuff not working for the Penguins, and it's Sullivan and Sid and the players and the veterans and everybody saying, it's not working, it hasn't worked for quite some time, it has no sign of working, but we know better. And these guys have all my respect in the world for what they've won, but I'm right about this. I'm 100% right about that power play. Sid should be on the right half wall, and let me tell you, in a vacuum, Sid would choose to be on the right half wall, but he knows he's effective down low. He knows Gino likes to play the right half wall, and that's all well and good if the power play is working, but it's not. It's not, and Sid needs to get on that right half wall and be the point guy, period. 412-333-WXDX. Get your calls in, Steelers and Colts tonight. I think it's going to be a game you wish you hadn't watched because it's going to be awful between two bad teams. But please do come to the bottle shop in Heidelberg and join me in watching the game because at least then we can shoot the breeze and have some fun. I'm getting all this crap about how, well, you teased that story with the Steelers and now you won't tell. You owe it to us to tell us. Yo, I wish you could see my upraised middle finger if you think I owe you anything. I don't owe this town anything. I don't owe my listeners anything. I don't owe the callers anything. I don't owe the Steelers anything. I don't owe Steeler fans anything. You can all kiss my fat, frumpy, bloated, white ass in hell if you think I owe you anything. Okay, maybe I'll tell what the story is. Maybe I won't. But the question you should be asking yourself is, all the Steeler media knows the story, and they won't report it. So talk to them. That's their job. It's not mine. 105.9EX.
Yes, Mark Madden.
Mark, huge fan. Love the show.
Because that's what you got to do.
Hey, Mark, big fan and all that.
I think you're on to something. Hey!
The X at 105.9.
Here's a tweet I'm posting now. The U.S. Soccer Federation desecrating the Iranian flag on social equals absurdly stupid and another example of woke overwhelming common sense. Fire whoever did it, apologize, and let's play soccer. For the U.S. Federation to distract its team in a must-win situation is idiotic. Well, I give good tweet. You got to give me that. Just incredible that they were that stupid. Tomorrow's game is going to be a bloodbath. The Iranians are going to take it personally. They effed this all up. Whether it affects the winning or losing, I do not know, but the U.S. Soccer Federation, fire whoever did it, fire whoever's in charge of whoever did it. My God. And anybody who says, well, there's things more important than soccer and these human rights violations, yo, I'll perform a human rights violation on your stupid idiot head if you don't shut up. You're there to play soccer. It's a soccer tournament. And you are providing a distraction in a must-win situation to the guys you sent over there to play soccer. Unbelievably stupid. Matt Williamson said that Kenny Pickett's making better decisions in the pocket. Okay. He's still not very good, though. Did you see that idiot for the Washington football team, Brian Robinson? You see that picture of him on social media wearing that big hat? His friend has a company that sells big hats. If there's a concept more stupid than the big hat, I have no idea what it is. Just incredibly dumb looking. And then people say, don't you know Brian Robinson got shot? Well, I mean, was it because of the big hat? I'm assuming no. And he's okay, right? Okay enough to wear that big hat. So the big hat, in terms of stupidity, stands on its own. You can't excuse whoever's wearing it because they got shot. Although I'm glad to see him make a recovery. And of course, I'm lying. I'm saying that for the purpose of people not getting upset. I don't care about Brian Robinson. It's good he's not dead. That I will say sincerely. We're talking Penguins, too. That Leafs game, boy, that had enough to piss you off, didn't it? That first Leafs goal on Saturday. Marner got a breakaway 40 seconds into the game on just, it was maybe the worst line change in history of hockey. And that's why it's hard to totally buy into the Penguins, because stupid stuff like that rears its ugly head far too often. Sid was part of the bad change. He went to the bench, started kicking the boards. You never see Sid throw a tantrum, but he surely did. And then he had to leave the rink a little bit later, presumably because he damaged his own skate and had to get it repaired. That's what I'm told anyway. I mean, you've won five straight, you come out, and in the first 40 seconds, a total brain cramp occurs. And then the Penguins allowed a 2-1-1 off a neutral zone faceoff with 17 seconds left in the first period. When you're involved in a neutral zone faceoff with 17 seconds left in the first period, you know what your main goal should be? To not allow a 2-on-1. Yo, Penguins, you're old and experienced. Effing play like it. They took a penalty 56 seconds into the second period and a slashing penalty by Gensel 6 seconds into the third period. They played so smart, for the most part, during that five-game winning streak, and then they come out at home for the first game of an extended homestand and put on a festival of stupid. Just amazing to me. Tell you what, the Leafs, they're not going to win nothing because they're too top-heavy. But their three kids up top, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, kids relatively speaking, they're real good. They're really, really good. Really good. Auston Matthews, though, he always looks like he just finished a meth binge. He's always got those black circles under his eyes. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. I'm really excited about the Pirates signing Carlos Santana. I would say that he's got to change his evil ways. How about Journey, the rock group Journey? The two remaining, you know, Glory Days members, the guitar player, Neil Sean, and the keyboard player, Jonathan Cain. They, like, pushed everybody else out of the band, and they owned the name, and now they're suing each other, and Neil Sean wants to bring in the keyboard player before Jonathan Cain, Greg Raleigh, to tour in 2023. And I understand the concept of not wanting to work with people you don't like, but I also understand the concept of, hey, you got a good thing going. It's a license to print money. Just work together. 412-333-WXDX, just around the corner. We got Brian DiArdo from CBS Sports talking Steelers here on 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Madden is the gravitas.
It is Stan the Man Gable, the gravitas.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good.
The X at 105.9.
Steelers against the Colts, Monday Night Football. Boy, talk about a game that takes all the glamour out of Monday Night Football. Joining me now to discuss, he covers the National Football League for CBS Sports. He is our buddy, Brian DiArdo. Brian, the Steelers are 3-7. I'm not sure they'd be great before the season, but I didn't think they'd be this bad. What's gone wrong, and did you expect better?
Yeah, Mark, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I thought you might hold me to the fire about my preseason prediction I had on your show. I thought they'd be 11 wins, but I guess at this point,
I wanted you to bring it up, buddy, but thank you.
Well, you know, maybe if you combine a couple of years, they'll get to that, Mark. But yeah, I think the Watt injury obviously played a huge role in what's going on. And then their lack of depth at pass rusher certainly hurt them. And obviously the quarterback situation, right, with Mitch and then obviously Kenny coming in. And I think that was mismanaged. And I think that, you know, no matter what, they weren't going to have Pro Bowl level quarterback play this year. But I think how they managed that, not really, being firm and having one guy they were going to commit to, I think really hurt them. So Watt, the quarterbacks, and then really in general, just the offensive line, specifically, you know, rushing wise, has not done well at all. Najee hasn't taken that next step, and then that secondary just has not gotten any better. They've had some injuries there, but I think, you know, Levi Wallace has kind of shown, you know, why he was such an affordable guy coming from Buffalo. So I think they need to stop with the economy free agent acquisitions, and they need to start spending more money there, and they need to stop with the draft, getting skill guys and getting more guys that you can get on the offensive line.
Yeah, I think they need to draft more sensibly. I think all their picks should be either linemen or cornerbacks for the next several drafts, and it might take longer than even two or three drafts to dig out, quite frankly. But in that vein, Brian, should the Steelers draft Stroud or Young if they're available in the next draft, or should they just stick with Pickett?
I think Pickett's good, and I was actually at the Ohio State game when they just lost to Michigan, and I'll say this. I have questions about Stroud. I mean, he looked like he was a guy that on Saturday that was protecting his draft stock. I don't know. I think he maybe ran one time, and he had plenty of lanes. So, you know, and I know now in today's NFL, you saw it with Jalen Hurts last night against the Packers. Not everybody has to be Jalen Hurts, but you have to have a threat of mobility, and you know, Stroud missed some reads, albeit he played against a very strong Michigan defense. And you know, Bryce from Alabama is good, but there's enough, I think, in Kenny Pickett that I would continue to commit to him for a few more years. I think that you're seeing some promise. He's cut back on the interceptions the last couple of games. He's still not making those big possession down weighty throws, as Coach Tomlin likes to say, and he needs to start doing more of that. But they also didn't put him in a great spot with not a great receiving core, not a great offensive line, and obviously a team that's overpowered weekly almost. So, there's enough there that I would continue to ride with him for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think they have a choice given their other needs too, Brian. That, like you said earlier, figures in. Now, you mentioned that you like some of what you see with Pickett. Where do you feel he's progressing? Because I find myself wondering if he's making rookie mistakes or if he's just playing bad. There is a difference.
Yeah, well, I think he's making smarter decisions, right? I think he's starting to learn a little bit more. The passes that he would throw in college, you're not going to get away with. I mean, that interception in Miami that sealed the game, he had two bad interceptions at the end of that game, I believe. And I don't think he'd make those same throws now. So I think he's doing a much better job, you know, reading defenses, pre-snap, understanding some of those things. You know, I will say this, and you saw it in college, you're seeing it now. He's, I think, pretty good at making quick decisions that mostly work out. Especially when he's running the ball, he'll see a lane and he'll take it, and he's not afraid. He's a fearless guy, and I think that's a good trait you want from your quarterback as long as it's not reckless. I think he's learning to take some of that recklessness out of his game. He's willing to give his teammates a chance. I think in that the last game they lost, there was a third down throw where he threw to Najee. It was a tough throw for a catch for Najee. He still could have made the catch. I would have checked down to Deontay, who was open. So I do think he needs to do this. He needs to start trusting some of his other weapons. He obviously trusts Najee Harris. He trusts Freiermuth. He trusts George Pickens. He needs to start trusting some of these other guys.
I still can't believe the Jeff Saturday hire as Indianapolis's interim coach. It begs the question, Brian, is coaching that hard? Does it take the hours that we're led to believe it does in the just all-encompassing knowledge of the business?
That's a great question. I think that proves your point. Yeah, I agree with you. I think to me the role of a head coach should be the role of CEO, and I think that Bruce Arians, that was probably his strength. And he even said when he went to Arizona, I'm going to accept this job under one condition, and that's that I relinquish play calling. So, and even Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, I there's a lot of Bengal fans I think that would say, is he a great X's and O's coach? No, but they bought into the culture down there, and their general manager's done a great job bringing him talent. But you look at a reason why the Bengals are good, it's, I think that he has done a good job getting the guys to buy in. They had to have some guys leave and some veterans leave, and it wasn't pretty there for a while. And then you look at, as I said, with Bruce Arians. So, and I think when you look at Jeff Saturday and you listen to some of his early press conferences, he said the biggest thing he wanted to do was embolden and support the guy's already there. What do you guys need? Even do you need me to go fetch the coffee for you? You want me to fax things, whatever you guys need. So he's doing that. And yeah, I don't think it's necessarily that hard. And I don't think it's this crazy thing that we all might project it to be.
Should the Colts be better than 4-6-1? They might have the best running back in the league. And there's certainly other components on that team that aren't too bad.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, their pass rush is great. DeForest Buckner, obviously their middle linebacker's out, so that hurts them a lot. I think one of the issues, they should be better than what they are. I actually had them pegged as potentially maybe, a team that could have upset Tennessee, because I wasn't high on Tannehill going into the season. I'm still not very high on him. But I think one of the main issues is they're not great really anywhere. They're very average mostly across the board. I know, again, they're losing Darius Leonard hurts, but, their linebackers aren't that great. I mean, you'll see it tonight. The Steelers should be able to make plays against them. They're not very good in pass coverage, especially in the middle of the field, like I said. They don't make a lot of interceptions, so they don't get a lot of splash plays. But offensive line is strong. They have arguably the best running back in the NFL that, if the Steelers can minimize his splash plays, they should be able to win the game. But, again, it comes back to your quarterback, right? If you don't have a Pro Bowl-level quarterback, you're not going to be that good. But I just think, in general, they're – very average across the board. There's not really one thing they're great at, which is one of the reasons why they are where they are.
Are you surprised the Colts went back to Matt Ryan at quarterback? What do you see as the purpose of that?
No, I'm not at all, because I Ellinger wasn't good, so I didn't really know what they were doing there. I mean, at least with Matt Ryan, he reminds me a lot of Ben last season. I think he might be maybe a little bit better, just purely because he's a little younger, but basically he's a guy, and I think that's why Saturday went back to him, because I think they wanted to see what they had in Ellinger, I think, after they realized that Ryan isn't the long-term solution. So I think it was kind of a knee-jerk thing, but once they realized that he wasn't any better, like, I think if Ellinger was as good as, say, a Mason Rudolph, they would have stayed with him. But it went from being a team that was, a shade under 500 to a team that was just flat out bad. And I don't think that, obviously, Jim Irsay wants that, hence they fired Frank Reich. So with Ryan, at least it's stability. He's going to throw, he's going to make smart reads. He could be confused, which at his age kind of surprises me. And I think the Steelers are going to try to throw a lot at him tonight. He's certainly not mobile, obviously. But again, I think he brings a veteran presence. He can still hit some of your deep shots. He's really good at slant passes. You'll see Michael Pittman getting involved tonight. And that's another thing, too. You asked about the Colts. They don't have a lot of splash in the skill position either. But I think for him, it's stability. And I think he can complement that defense. And again, do what maybe Ben Roethlisberger did for the Steelers last year. Not really win a lot of games, but not necessarily lose the games.
We're talking to Brian DiArdo of CBS Sports here on 105.9 The X. Is it just me, Brian, or are there no great teams this year? I don't see one. Even the teams I thought might be great, like Buffalo and Philadelphia, they're backsliding just a little bit.
Yeah, if there was a great team, it would be Philly. But even then, I think that they have lapses in pass defense. I mean, you even saw last night Christian Watson takes to the house against them, and their run defense is suspect. But, no, I agree. And I think it's the continuous byproduct of free agency and guys wanting to leave. And I think it's also, you're seeing a lot of top-heavy rosters, quite frankly, because of quarterbacks demanding so much money. And I think that's going to be really interesting when it's time for Joe Burrow to get paid, because what's more important to him? Is it making $50 million, or is it having enough money to keep T. Higgins, keeping Ja'Marr Chase. But yeah, I agree. And that's the byproduct of the NFL wanting parity. And it begs the question, what would you rather have? Would you rather have dynastic teams like the Steelers of the 70s, but then you have, you know, the Buccaneers going 0-26 during that same span? Or would you rather have a bunch of mediocrity? So it depends on the fan, but clearly the NFL thinks their current model is better. But at the end of the day, there's only 5 or 7 teams that can win the Super Bowl every single year. I mean, I think the best team in the NFC is, you know, probably, I think it's San Francisco, to be honest, and Jimmy Garoppolo is their starting quarterback. So that tells you all that you need to know about how many lack of great teams there are in the NFL right now.
And in that vein, and by the way, Brian, I agree. I think by the playoffs, San Francisco will be the best team in the NFC. But is it just me, or are there very few great quarterbacks anymore, or even very good ones? When Mike White replacing Zach Wilson is big news, we're at low tide for quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why that you want to stick with Kenny Pickett, I think, even longer. Because I think, again, you know, you watch C.J. Stroud, and you can argue that Kenny Pickett's last year at Pitt was better than C.J.'s last year at Ohio State. So that's why I think it would reward them to be a little bit more patient with him. But I agree once again. I mean, and you look at the Cincinnati-Tennessee game yesterday. What was the difference? It was Joe Burrow completing low percentage completions to T. Higgins down the field. And so, yeah, I mean, and there is a shortage of great quarterbacks in this league, and it's those, and you saw it at Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I mean, Kenny wasn't terrible in that second half, but he wasn't winning the weighty downs. And the Steelers hurt themselves with those self-inflicted wounds. But yeah, I mean, I think, and really, I think the best young quarterbacks are, the majority are in the AFC with Mahomes, with Justin Herbert, and with Joe Burrow. And for whatever reason, Joe Burrow continues to be underrated. And I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's because he plays in a small market, or that he's not doing a lot of commercials like Baker Mayfield did, who was never a great quarterback. But yeah, there's not a lot of them, and that's why they continue to be drafted high every single year.
Somebody said to me, boy, if Baker Mayfield hadn't done all those commercials, maybe he'd be a better quarterback. I disagree. I think he knew he wasn't a great quarterback, wanted to cash in before people found out.
I think that's exactly right. He tried to make as much money as he could. Good for him. I wonder if that was also kind of Juju's mojo as well, trying to make sure he cashed in on his name. And I'm happy for him in Kansas City, but really, I don't know if the Steelers have had a great receiver since Antonio. I question them giving Deontay that much money, because there really shouldn't be an excuse when a guy's getting paid that much. It doesn't matter what the scenarios are. He needs to be making snaps. I know you didn't ask about Deontay, but that just kind of came to mind, that I know that there's a lot of people making excuses for him, and it's not all his fault. But to me, if you're making that much money, you need to play like it regardless of the circumstances. But yeah, I credit Baker for cashing in on his 15 minutes and continuing to do so with those pretty rough Nissan Heisman commercials.
Hey, you wrote a story. You had talked to Hines Ward at one point about his chance for the Hall of Fame. What's your call for Hines? Not just this year, but in the long run. Yay or nay? Does he make it or not?
Well, he's in the Steelers Hall of Honor. He should be happy with that. I think he makes it maybe eventually, but there's too many guys with gaudier numbers like Reggie Wayne that are going to make it before him. And Torrey Holt's taking the page from Drew Pearson's playbook of campaigning for yourself every year. So I think voters are going to get tired of hearing that and finally vote him in. I think he could make it in eventually, but there is a Steelers kind of anti-bias where they're kind of tired of those guys. They want to try to spread the wealth. But I think that's going to be the biggest detriment to him, is there's going to be guys now that come out that might make it that played in the 70s and 80s that may have been forgotten in the past, like Stanley Morgan of New England, for example. I say it's 50-50. If he makes it in, it's going to – I will say this. If he makes it, I think it'll be as a senior candidate. So we're talking maybe 10 to 15 years down the line. But, you know, maybe that long in the future. But for now, I think that he's going to have to just be happy with his role in Steelers lore.
You know, it's funny. When he said to you that he's not making it because he didn't make All-Pro – for one thing, he did make All-Pro. He made it 3 times, just second team. And when he said that the Steelers' offense wasn't designed for him to make All-Pro, well, maybe it wasn't designed for him to be a Hall of Famer either.
Well, you're right. Yeah, and you know, I would say if there's really one feather in his cap, I think it's that he had, you know, 1,000-yard seasons with 3 different quarterbacks, and really only one. And like as he said in that interview, you know, he had a young Ben Roethlisberger. So I would say that if I was campaigning for him, that would be the one I would make, along with the fact that he did make a lot of big catches and big moments, those big third down catches that you needed to have. I think even Jacksonville, the season they won their last Super Bowl, which now it seems like a long time ago, but Yeah, I mean, it was never meant for anybody really to be a star from a receiving standpoint. But and I think, again, the thing that's going against him is he is right, though, in that regard. And I wrote that in the story. There is it does seem like there is a prejudice against guys that did not accumulate all pros. And that's why a guy like Chad Johnson might have a chance ahead of Hines Ward, even though I think Hines is a much more deserving person. But, yeah, the irony with some of the Steelers guys is the rings in the past helped those guys get in. But I think more of the voters now are not looking at rings, and they're more looking at body of work and all pros and more individual recognition.
Who's going to win tonight? Because I got to be honest, I'm not looking forward to watching it. It might be like 7-6 or something like that.
Well, yeah, I would brew some coffee by the second quarter if you're trying to make it for this whole thing. I think they're going to win just because I think that they have good matchups in this game. I think the biggest key is if the Colts can, or the Steelers offensive line can protect Pickett, that's going to be, I think, the biggest thing. And if that running game can give him some sort of semblance of balance, I think that's going to be the key. I think this could be his coming out party. I think that he's primed for one. I think that this point in the season, he's set up to have a good game. I would be weary of Stephon Gilmore, you know, but as I said earlier, this defense doesn't make a lot of splash. So it's set up for them to win. If they win this game, they're not making the playoffs, so nobody should be saying that. But if they win this game, it could set themselves up for a nice finish to the season. If they lose this game, then they go to Atlanta, which, I mean, Atlanta's a tough out. I mean, they're not an easy team to beat. So I think tonight could define what the second part of the season is going to be for them. But I think they win. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game, obviously, but I do think they win, and I think Pickett will play well enough to maybe add some positivity to what otherwise has been a negative narrative surrounding the team to this point in the year.
Ryan, as always, great stuff. I appreciate taking the time. I got to be honest, though, I don't think coffee will do it tonight, but I don't even know where to get crystal meth.
Well, I can't help you there either, but I'll get some coffee brewed down here for you.
I hear you. That's Brian DiArdo from CBS Sports. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9.
Genius, Mark Madden.
Come, son of Jor-El. Kneel before Zod.
Oh, hi.
Always great to hear from the lady callers.
The X at 105.9.
I have to admit, today's show has been probably disappointing to all of you because I can't come up with Steeler talk when they stink and when the game's meaningless. I mean, I guess I'd like to see him win. Here's what I would like to see. I'd like to see them win the next two so you can start lying to yourselves again. And they're at Indy tonight. They're at Atlanta the next game. Yeah, maybe it's possible. But put it this way. If you made me bet on 3-9 or 5-7, I'd bet on 3-9. I know you all like to say, well, you know, Indy's not very good, or next week Atlanta's not very good. Steelers aren't very good. If Pickett starts to falter even more, they should pick up Josh Dobbs. Remember him? He got cut by the Browns today as they added Deshaun Watson to the active roster. And Josh Dobbs, if memory serves, has a degree in rocket science. He could go work for NASA, but he loves football, so he's willing to hang on for, you know, lowball practice squad type money. And whenever I say he's dumb for doing that, people say to me, well, he loves the game. Well, what Josh Dobbs needs to realize is that the game will never love him the way he loves it. And I have really made myself happier in my life in several ways when I've come to realize that something doesn't love me as much as I love it. I've reached a pivotal stage, actually, based on accurately making that judgment. 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. Two more wins, and the Tomlin countdown clock hits zero. The ball drops. You know what I thought of? I may be out of town when the countdown clock hits, because I'm going to Vegas on the 5th, the day after what could be the 9th loss. So we'll have to see. Don't forget, tonight I'm at the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg. That is a rip-roaring place to watch a Steeler game, so stop up tonight at the Bottle Shop in Heidelberg to check out the Steelers and the Colts with me, the super genius Mark Madden. Metallica just announced a big tour for the next 2 years, but it is a less traditional type of tour. And I think it's a good idea, a unique idea, except I don't like outdoor venues. I don't like football stadiums. All of these are in big stadiums. There are 12 shows in North America, 10 in other countries, whether it's Europe, South America, or Mexico. And here's how they're doing it. It's all on the weekends. They play the weekends. They play two shows in each city at the same stadium, the football stadium or soccer stadium, whatever big outdoor venue there is, indoors in some cases, like dome stadiums. So they play two consecutive days on the weekends. They have a different set of opening acts each night. And their set list changes 100% from night to night. They play two totally different shows night to night. So if you want to go both nights, you will be rewarded by seeing a totally different show from beginning to end. That's a real good concept. I wish a band I was more in love with the Metallica did it. I won't go to see Metallica under those circumstances. Pantera is one of the opening acts. That's interesting, but that's the rejuvenated Pantera. The Abbott brothers passed, of course, so they got Zakk Wylde and Charlie Benante. Zakk from Ozzy and Black Label, and Charlie from Anthrax. But that is a great concept for a tour. That is the second most welcome development in rock star live performances after the concept of the Las Vegas residency. And of course, I'm going to see Aerosmith. This is their last run of shows in Vegas, the end of their residency. At least that's what they say. So I'll be glad to see them twice more. And maybe that's it for me and Aerosmith. I've seen my last Whitesnake show, I think. I've seen my last UFO show, I think. I've seen Plant and Page for the last time, I think. Pretty soon, all I'll have left is Greta Van Fleet. And then not long after that, I'll be dead. 412-333-WXDX. We're going to talk hockey with Tyler Kennedy at 5:15. The former Penguin, former Stanley Cup champion. What's your take on where the Penguins are at? What should they do with their power play? What should they do with their third line? How about all these mistakes they made against Toronto? Something interesting we're going to talk about later in the week. Did you know Sidney Crosby leads the league in even strength points right now? You know, I kind of put, you know, a couple hundred bucks on him to an MVP as a bit of a laugh. Maybe it's more than a bit of a laugh. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.